Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter, where he writes, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for God, for ages in God." Yes, today we do celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, God in flesh made manifest, being revealed as true God. Ever since mankind's sin in the garden, the world and everything in it has been wrapped in darkness. Even the hearts and minds of all mankind are bound and blinded by the darkness of sin and the devil. Because man cannot find his way to God in the dark, in his rich love and mercy, God sent his Messiah into the world. He sent a descendant from King David to bring light into the darkness. As Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." Jesus is the one who shines light into our darkened world. He shines his light into all who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that definitely includes you and me. By his light and through his light, his saving gospel, you have Jesus' peace. And that is the message that Isaiah is proclaiming in our Old Testament text this morning. Isaiah is just another ordinary sinner, just like you and me. But God uses ordinary sinners to proclaim his extraordinary message. Just as God forgives your contrite heart, he absolved Isaiah of his sin and equipped him to be his spokesman to his people living in darkness. God strengthened Isaiah, and Isaiah was willing to go wherever God would send him. But it wouldn't be easy. The people wouldn't listen to Isaiah. And when they would interact with him, it was only to mock him. The people preferred living in darkness. They refused to repent and worship the Lord God alone. They wanted their own false gods. So through Isaiah, God pronounced his judgment. Darker days were coming, and the Lord would allow the kingdom of Judah to be destroyed. The Lord God would only preserve a small remnant. Well, while God demands justice, he is a merciful God. So in our text we heard earlier, the Lord proclaims his glory that he would send into the world, shining light upon his people, and then shining through his people to all peoples on the earth, all those who dwell in darkness, shining so brightly that all nations would gather together and worship the one true God. And in our gospel text, we see Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled. To pagan wise men from foreign countries, the Lord God revealed the birth of a king, the birth of a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to God's people, Israel. This light is the light of men who was made manifest in Bethlehem, shining brightly into a darkened, sinful world. At his birth, Jesus shone into a sinful world of legalistic scribes and Pharisees, a world of Roman decadence ruled locally by a murderous puppet king, King Herod. And into the darkened hearts of these pagan astrologers, God worked faith. He created faith and revealed that the true light of the world could be found by following a distant star. They responded by faith. They followed that star all the way to Bethlehem, all the way so they could fall down and worship the newborn king and offer him gifts befitting of a king. And that's exactly what faith does. Faith no longer offers sacrifices. The blood of bulls and goats no longer are sacrificed because the true light has come into the world and made a once-for-all atoning sacrifice, atoning for all mankind's sins, especially for yours. Because of the light, faith today responds with sacrifices of worship and praise. Faith responds with fruits of faith, with contrition and repentance, prayer and thanksgiving, tithes and offerings, and most especially, the proclamation of the gospel. Our gospel reading is all that Scripture records about these wise men, but if you think about it, God created faith within them. They followed a star from a distant nation, and entering the house, they beheld God in the flesh of man and offered him precious gifts. They certainly didn't just go home and keep this story to themselves. No, they would have gone back to the nations and proclaimed what they had witnessed, that they saw the light who had come into the world. Their testimony would have been given, strengthened by the grace of God, and they would have proclaimed the light of the gospel to Gentile nations dwelling in darkness. And that's what we see Paul doing in our epistle text. Just like Isaiah, just like the wise men, Paul is made a proclaimer of the gospel. Like you and I, like Isaiah, Paul is a man of unclean lips, the least of the saints, previously persecuting Christ's church and putting Christians to death. But God gave Paul an epiphany. He created faith in Paul's heart and filled him with the Holy Spirit and called him to go and proclaim to the Gentiles the riches of Christ. Called him to proclaim and bring the light of God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul's letter to the Ephesian Gentiles is a letter to Gentiles of all time and all places, even you and I this morning. You see, when he originally wrote this letter, the letter was intended to be read in front of the congregation all at once, from start to finish. And since we don't have that kind of time this morning, let me give you the context of the letter. Paul begins with a message for you. He says, God chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined you for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Long before he created the heavens and the earth and all things in the earth, God chose you to be set apart from this darkened world and live as a child of the light according to God's good and gracious will. Israel was once God's chosen people, but that was according to the old covenant. Jesus has ushered in the new covenant. The light of the world has entered, and he has come for Jew and Gentile alike. His sacrificial death is for all mankind. Dear Christian, in your baptism, God adopted you into his holy family and gave you the family name of Christian. It was at the font where you were freely credited with all Jesus' earthly work, his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death on your behalf, his work of salvation. There he sanctified you to live a holy and blameless life. And although you can't live up to all of God's commands, because of your baptism, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, as we discussed down in Bible study this morning. It is with you. You drowned your sins daily in your baptism, and arise a new man in Christ. That good work that God began in you in baptism will be brought to completion on the last day when our Lord returns. And so until that time, God wants you to live by faith. He sees you as holy. He wants you to live by faith in Jesus and do His will. He calls you to respond in faith, just like Isaiah did, just like Paul did, and the wise men did, responding with sacrifices of worship and praise, responding with prayer and thanksgiving, contrition, repentance, all sorts of good works, and most especially, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. As we heard earlier, brothers and sisters in Christ, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Word has become flesh, and it dwells among you. Christ Jesus has come, and He's overcome the power of sin, death, and the grave. He has planted faith in your heart and made you His own. He has given you the Holy Spirit, and He has shown the true light into your darkened heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But on this side of heaven, there's still darkness. We still live in a darkened world. There's all sorts of addiction and abuse, hatred, murder. We have a government who endorses God-forbidden sins. Our bodies are failing. There's sickness and disease, broken relationships, broken families. All these things weigh you down. And as a Christian, you even face persecution for your faith. But the light of Christ dwells within you. Through God's word and sacraments, He sustains that faith He has created in you, and you have Jesus' promise. Having that light, you now walk by faith, not by sight. So here you sit on a Sunday morning, possessing all of the unsearchable, unfathomable riches of Christ. It's yours. You possess faith, forgiveness, and the promise of life everlasting. And knowing that you're free, and knowing these gifts are free to all who believe, whom have you told? Certainly you know people with darkened hearts. Certainly you know people who are living a life of rebellion against God and destined for eternal damnation. Have you shared the good news, the proclamation of the light coming into the world? Have you told them that the light will shine into their darkened lives, offering them God's gift of undeserved kindness and forgiveness? Have you told those who need the light of Christ about Christ crucified for sinners? The question is, how can these people living in darkness be exposed to the light if they've never been told about the light? How can they know that Jesus loves them, even unto His own death on the cross, in their stead, if they've never heard about Jesus? How can they come and receive Jesus' precious gifts if they're never invited? It's hard to imagine our world is post-Christian, but there are a lot of people out there who don't know who Jesus is. It used to be, well, the majority of Americans knew who Jesus was, but that is no longer the case. People don't know Jesus, nor do they know why they should care who Jesus is. And as a member of the body of Christ, you have been called to shine that light into the darkness, inviting others to the very place where Jesus dispenses His means of grace through word and sacrament. Now, I know what you're thinking. Not everyone is called, like Paul, to the office of the holy ministry, but you, dear Christian, have an explicit call. St. Peter writes, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's chosen you. He's chosen you as his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has bestowed all these precious gifts upon you. His gifts to you by grace, undeserved, but earned because of Christ crucified. The true light has come into the world. God in the flesh of man made manifest. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. You see, the Father has sent the light into the world. That light has come and has conquered sin, death, and the grave. And the Holy Spirit has shown that light into your heart, creating faith in you and giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they've done all the work for you. There's nothing you can do in return, but God does call you to good works. He does call you to respond in faith. Not responding to work towards your salvation, but responding because he has chosen you as his own possession. Through word and sacrament, Jesus keeps you in this true faith, granting you his peace until he receives you in heaven. And until that day comes, you respond according to God's will in faith, with fruits of contrition and repentance, fruits of prayer and thanksgiving and offerings and works, and most especially, the proclamation of the gospel. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.